This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Stand by. The vacuum tubes are warming up. This is a special live broadcast right here on Georgia Radio.
Well, good evening. Once again, you're listening to the Georgia Folk and Farm Life radio show on GeorgiaRadio.com with Matt Jolly, who is I'm more than under the weather tonight. He's on death's door, I think.
Well, it's not that bad, but I'm bad off. He has the flu,
and he's just not feeling well. It's a bad flu going around this year. But he's been a good trooper, and we're on the air tonight, and we are blessed to have Faye Stapleton Burnett back with us again. It's always a great show when we have Faye. Thank you, Faye, for joining us. You there?
Yes, it's my pleasure to be here.
Is it cold and raining where you are?
It's cold, but not as cold as it's going to be. So, yeah, it's been dreary all day long up here outside Elberton, Georgia.
Well, and you're well north of us, way up there where it's going to get rough. I mean, we're going to have some really I know other people in places laugh when we talk about it, but we're not used to this now. Years ago when we were young, before global warming, man-made global warming, took effect. We used to be a lot colder. We experienced a lot of cold days, but this week we're going to have temperature in the teens and wind chills around zero, which is pretty miserable. I don't care where you are, or who you are, that's pretty miserable.
That's right. You're right. And so that's what I thought we would talk about tonight is cold weather and. You know, without me even saying, Wade, I'm going to talk about Georgia history in some way or another.
That's right. Well, when we talk that comes to mind, I think about the blizzard, not just snow, but we had a blizzard in 1973, the second week in February, 1973. Now, I was 14, and I was singing with the First Baptist Church Youth Choir in Swainsboro, known as the Good News Company. We went we were at Rock Eagle at the 4-H youth camp and for competition, and it was not supposed, the weather forecast did not predict really rain or snow, and we left Swainsboro on the church bus and a van. And we headed up through Wrightsville that way, and it started raining, and it got colder and colder, and it started freezing, and it started snowing. And we got to Rock Eagle, and we had snowed all day and all night. Next day, a lot of the choirs left. The only choirs that couldn't get home was us from Swainsboro and the youth choir from Montezuma. And some of the staff at the camp there stayed and cooked for us and help keep the place open. And we had a ball. It was a fun time. But it was like 18 to 24 inches of snow in our part of Georgia and south of us. You know, when we have the coldest weather or the most snow is when we have cold, dry air from the north running into moisture from the Gulf. When we have fronts that come in that would have moisture that come in from the west or the northwest, they usually hit warmer air and we don't get snow. But when that happens, it usually starts from the south and moves up, start in Florida, South Georgia, and move up into Georgia. And we've had that happen another time or two. But where were you that year, Faye, that week?
I think I was just in Metter. because we hadn't graduated from high school yet.
Right.
I think I was just at home and met her. But what I wanted to mention too, Wade, there was a time in history when if you didn't want to create controversy, you could just avoid talking about religion and politics. And
before social media.
Yeah, and talk about the weather. Weather was a non-offensive topic back in the day. But now if you bring up the weather, it's going to bring up climate change, and then you get into all kind of trouble. But that being said, I'm going to venture into weather.
Well, you know, let me interrupt you, and that's what I do.
Yes.
You know, Mark Twain, one of his famous quotes was, everybody complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it.
You're right. Well, I have some questions for you, Wade, and you're not allowed to do an internet search. I just want your best guess at this.
Well, you don't have to worry. I couldn't keep
you
all on the screen and do that at the same time. It could be done, I'm sure, but I don't know how to do it. So.
Good. All right. Here's my first question. What is
Here are my hands in front of my face right now.
Okay. <see. laughs> What is the coldest temperature ever recorded in Georgia?
Probably 10 below.
Okay, you're very close. It was 17 degrees below. Can you guess what year it was? Just give me a guess.
1901.
1940. Can you guess what county or what area of the state?
Brasstown Bald up there.
Well, it said it was in Murray County near Chatsworth, and it's an area known as the Pocket because of the way that the geography and the topography come together there. And so I just thought that was interesting. Minus 17 degrees. That's pretty
that's cold.
Yeah. And
now, y'all,
that wasn't wind chill. That was actual temperature.
You hear Conway barking?
Yes.
He's looking at his reflection in the stove, and he does that now and then, and so he chose a good time to go over there and bark at himself.
That's okay.
But, I love it. It's not real bright, but go ahead.
That's okay. I wanted to look back at another, you know, this is going to be a pretty cold spell that we're having coming in the next few days this weekend, but if I want to look back at a historic cold spell, which was in the late 1800s, 1885 to 1888, in the winter of 1886 to 87, it was known as the big die-up, as in die, as in dead. Instead of talking about a cattle roundup, they called it a cattle die-up because out in the Midwest, they lost so many herd of cattle. And that basically changed the way that cattle were the industry forever, because before that, they just let them have free range and go around. And they lost so many, that was the end of that with the cowboys in 18.
That's sad. Now, what year was it when it was the year after the volcano erupted there in the Pacific? And it was called the year without a summer. And it was, you know, they had snow in July in places, and it was very cold.
I don't know. I'd have to look that up. But I just know that this was a historic, I mean, a massive historic event in the late 1880s. But seeing as how we're talking about Georgia, I want to mention that. But I want to read some excerpts from my great-granddaddy's diary in Jefferson County during this period of time. And I'm going to have Brock read it since a man wrote it. This is my great-granddaddy out there in Jefferson County. That gives you some clue as what the cold was like. It was kind of like what we have now. It was, you know, like they talk about a cyclone, that kind of thing. It was an epic cold. So if you'll let me let Brock read the first selection, okay? This is from 1885 in February.
February 23rd, Monday. Edgar still sick, fair and cold. Fine day for outdoor work. Some of the hands plowing and some making fence and cleaning up, etc. Preparation for farming generally very backward. This is the most protracted spell of cold weather that we have had in the climate since the year 1835, so say some of the old people. There has been ice for 2 weeks, and most of the time the ground frozen too hard to plow in the morning. The land is also extremely wet and foggy, and some of the wells almost running over.
I thought that was interesting that, you know, that was in 1885, and you had people talking about what happened in 1835, and the concept of wells running over, Wade, I'm sure you're... You may have some knowledge on that.
I have a shallow well in my yard, and it's down right now about probably 12, 15 feet, and I live on Sand Hill. But I've seen it level with the ground, but I've never seen it run over.
Yeah.
And that was only twice. By the way, going back to the, it was 1816 when the...
Year without a summer thing?
Yeah, and I was trying to find Mount Tambora erupted in 1815. So the following year, the ash blocked out the sun, and that was a year without summer. And sometimes you might want to read about that. I'm sure there's some references to it in Georgia. You know, in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
That's getting back there from the newspapers, but I'm sure there's
some.
But, you know, we're saying, you know, keep wrap your pipes. And they didn't have that back then. And, you know, I have heard of it getting so cold in times past that people's wells froze.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you could break that. You could drop put a heavy weight on a rope and drop it and break the ice. But, you know, living in a house, and we've experienced that, living in a house with no insulation, an old house, and heating with a gas space heater or a fireplace, you couldn't heat the house. No. And when I've lived in a house when it got that, you know, down in the single digits in an old uninsulated house. And it's pretty miserable. I've seen, you know, things freeze inside the house. People, had a year. Do you remember a year it got down to below zero and the wind was so bad and people's toilets froze in the houses and it was pipe rust. It was terrible.
Yes. When I mentioned a while ago, they've talked on the news tonight about a cyclone, you know, talking about the blizzard cyclone.
Right.
We're going to jump on from 1885 to the next January of 1886, mm-hmm. back in his journal. And it's called an extra tropical cyclone, a blizzard that came in January the 9th, 1886. And it's mentioned, if you Google that, it's talked about all over the nation. And he's writing in this diary entry about his mill pond. And if you're in little old Stapleton, Georgia, and you go out toward Gibson, there's a Duhart's Creek. That's where the mill pond was. And there's also reference in the newspapers of the Okmulgee River in Macon, frozen so hard that men were walking on it.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is. Okay, now here's Brock again. He's going to read the part that my great-granddaddy. Okay, Brock.
January the 8th, Friday, family up. Raining heavy during the forenoon, very windy and cold during the evening. January 9th, Saturday, family up, heavy freeze. The night was stormy throughout and moving heavy this morning. Very bitter for outdoor work. Milk froze while milking.
Wow.
The day was spent by making fires and sticking to them. The trains were greatly delayed by the ice obstructing the working of the engines. January 10th, Sabbath day, family up, everything still frozen. No evidence of a moderation. The wind blew all night and still stirring. The sun shining brightly, seemingly without much impression. The weather being so extremely cold, I did not attend my appointment at Mill Creek Church. January 11th, family up, still exceedingly cold, so much so that all outdoor work nearly suspended. Railroads all more or less disorganized. My gin, run by water, has been frozen up since last Friday night. We can't turn a wheel. January 12th, Tuesday, family up, still very cold. The wind has ceased, but there is no evidence of a thaw. Grain generally thought to be killed. January 13th, Wednesday, family up, still cold. The papers state this to be the coldest spell that has been in this county or country in 135 years. Ground thawed a little in some spots where the sun could strike fair all day. January 14th, Thursday, family up, still fair and cold, some air stirring that makes it very disagreeable. Hands cutting up logs, large green pines frozen through, cut through the ice on my mill pond, and it measured 3.5 inches where the water was 12 feet deep. Friday, January 15th, still cold, wind from the north, very sharp, some clouds indicating snow. The ground is said to be frozen from 6 to 8 inches. This is the eighth day since the spell commenced. Went up to see an old colored man by the name of Moses Hart to assist him in fixing his will. On my way, I drove in on some ice, and my mare slipped down, and it was with some difficulty that I succeeded in getting her up and out. I tried to break the ice with a rail, but I failed to make an impression. Some scattering drops of rain late in the evening, but note, in 1854, Reedy Creek Church was recovered by Mr. W.G. Wren, and this week was recovered by the members of the church.
Just of note, when you talk about pine trees being frozen.
That's amazing.
And this was the coldest spell since 1751.
Wow. Now, he mentioned recovering. What they meant by recovering was putting wooden shingles on the roof. Wooden shingles, yes.
Yes.
They didn't have the tin roof then. It was all wood shingles, yes.
Right. And Reedy Creek was the home church. It's out there. And I know, Wade, you know what I'm talking about, the panhandle of Warren County.
Yes.
Okay, it's right out there. They call it Stapleton, but it's actually over the county line from Jefferson. But when you talk about your mill pond being frozen that much of a depth, and it's interesting that they were actually recovering the roof.
I wonder why they chose that time to
re-roof the roof. I don't know.
It might have been necessary. Listen, it's break time. We need to go and take our break, Matt.
Hi, this is Wade Peebles from Georgia Folk and Farm Life Radio. I'm here to tell you about Meek's Brothers Cattle Company. And you don't have to worry about supply chain issues or where your beef comes from. Do what I do and call Meek's Brothers Cattle Company today. You can get a whole, half, a quarter, any amount of beef you want. Good quality beef. Vacuum packed. Lasts up to 3 years in your freezer. It's grass-fed, grain-finished, made to order. Visit Meek's Brothers Cattle Company on Facebook today and tell them Brother Wade sent you. And that's Meek's Brothers Cattle Company. Thank you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Georgia Radio. Good company and great country.
Yeah, I was enjoying the country music.
Well, you're still with us. Thank you for joining us. You're on listening to the Georgia Folk and Farm Life Radio Show, brought to you by Meek's Brothers Cattle Company, which, by the way, I need to record a new ad. They have added 25 and 50 pound boxes of beef packages that if you want to buy smaller amounts, and it's wonderful, it's a great deal. And they have a new website. I hope it's up. It was supposed to be, and I hadn't checked before tonight, and I should have. But if it's not, it should be. But check their website. They've got that makes finding out about their products and ordering much easier. So, yeah, well, we're here with
what's the website, Wade?
I'm not sure. Don't ask me technical questions like that.
Yeah. All right, we'll check.
Yeah, we'll check, and we'll get that. We'll post about that on the Facebook group there, Georgia Folk and Farm Life. Well, we're back with Faye Stapleton and Brock. Faye Stapleton, Burnett. If I ever forget to say Burnett, slap me.
Oh, it's all right. We're good.
I know Brock is used to that, but they're here with us tonight, and glad to have both of them. We're talking about historically cold weather in Georgia. And I can remember when I was young, the mud puddles froze solid quite often. Our pond would freeze, get a sheet of ice, and we would throw rocks across it. And it was never enough to walk on. We were big youngins, chubby youngins. We knew better. It had to be some thick ice to hold us. But we don't see that much anymore. And we used to see icicles hanging from the edge of the roof quite often. But I don't like an ice storm. I like snow. I like cold weather, okay. But I do not like an ice storm. I don't want to be without power. The last one we had, I think it was in 2016. I was without power from Tuesday morning to Sunday night, and it was miserable. So,
yeah, I did want to mention, since we're talking about weather, Wade, in the 3 years that this diary was written in the late 1880s in Jefferson County, there was 3 major weather events, one every year. You couldn't have orchestrated it to be better. One was this epic cold that we're reading about tonight. The other one was an earthquake, the earthquake that hit Charleston so badly that hit up into Jefferson County. He describes that. And the other is basically what it was a hurricane, but the effects of a tropical storm, the flooding that occurred. And, we take it for granted. We're sitting here looking at the news and the radar and everything. These people, when you read his diary, they're just kind of going along with their life. They're at somebody's house and they're planting their crops and like, wham, something hits them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll just give you a good example.
They had no idea. They had no idea it was coming.
I'll give you a good example. My grandfather, Robert Morris, was born in 1901. And when he was a young boy, and I wrote a Christmas story one year based loosely on that, so close yet so far away. But it was in the wintertime, but it was warm. The weather was warm. And actually, there was no weather news. They didn't know. They just took what came. And Grandpa went to a good distance where Dirt Roads, his mom and daddy let him go over, walk to a friend's house and spend the night. And he went barefoot and short sleeves and shorts on, shoes or socks. And when he got there, the weather just started turning cold and it started snowing, and it snowed heavy. And Grandpa couldn't even go out and enjoy because he didn't have any shoes, and they were all poor folks, and those kids didn't have any spares, for him to he had just sit and watch his buddy and his brother playing in the snow, and it was 3 days before his daddy could come get him and get over there and get him. And they had no phones, no communication. He was well taken care of, but he said he sure wanted to go play in that snow, but he couldn't. But that's the kind of surprise that weather was back then.
Well, the weather events were surprises, but I will also say that when you read his entries in his journal, the date that these weather events occur, he'll quote, he got the Augusta Chronicle, and so he'll quote what the newspaper said about it within a day or two, and the news of the earthquake in Charleston, you'd be surprised how quickly it spread to these, into the newspapers. You can correlate what he's talking about with what's in the press back then. So that almost amazed me that some little podunk town in the middle of nowhere would actually find out what was going on fairly quickly after.
Well, the telegraph and the railroad made a big difference.
Yes.
But
yes.
Talking about weather and what people, you mentioned cyclone.
Yes.
People did not use, rural people, and even in my grandparents' day, did not know the term hurricane. They would say a cyclone came through.
Yeah.
And they would use the same term sometimes for a tornado. They didn't use the term tornado very often. It was a twister or a cyclone. And a big cyclone would be a hurricane, or a small cyclone would be a tornado. And they didn't know to use those terms. But cyclone is something we rarely use today, but it was a very common term to describe weather events then.
It was. And something you may know, Wade, and I'm sure you probably do, But when you're reading his journal, because he was also a farmer, and they would plant corn, you know, back when there was ice on the ground, and they would be out there planting their corn. And I can't remember, is it so that it would try to get it up before all the or the birds would come? Do you remember why they planted so early when it was still icy?
I'm not sure. That's what I'm going to have to say. I'm not sure about that.
Look, somebody knows, because that's when they plant corn. Every year it would be ice on the ground. And you would have freezing weather and ice like end of March. I mean, back in this diary, I'm amazed at how much this was a protracted period of cold. And there was also extreme, I think you've heard me talk about this before, Wade. In 1873, there was a man who wrote a very intelligent scientific article in the Milledgeville newspaper talking about climate change, the extreme cold. They were going into instead of global warming, it was global cooling.
The ice age, yes.
Yes, it was the ice age. And he was attributing, and he had a very excellent explanation, it was the railroad tracks causing it. we laugh at it, but I mean, what he said was very scientific, and it made perfect sense. But he was an anti-railroad man, because he said that they were, it was messing with the wind currents, and it was creating these big events.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is. And he signed it anti-railroad.
You know, there was some funny beliefs about weather. You know, when people went, when they settled the lands west of the Mississippi and Kansas and Nebraska, and then when they moved on, those were good farmlands. They moved on further west into some more arid regions that sometimes they got rain, sometimes they didn't. You could have, you know, a good crop year, but then it might be several years of basically drought. That was normal for that region. In fact, the rains was abnormal.
Yeah.
But there was a belief that, and real estate people, these land speculators, love to say that rain followed the plow. They believed that if you went out there and plowed the land, the rain would come. That's what they didn't understand the science of it, and they wanted to sell land to these poor people that that would, you know, basically is going to be a dust bowl. But rain followed the plow. That was a common belief back then. So you go, you build it, and it's like that. Build it, and they will come. Plow it, and the rain will come.
Yes, and I know we're fixing to close in on the end of the show, so I'm going to skip on over to the end. The last. This was, since we're coming up on the end of the year, Wade, and I probably won't be with you again before the end of the year, I guess. So, anyway, this diary is leading up to his death. He died about 2 months after this next entry. This was on New Year's Eve. To me, New Year's Eve always brings to mind looking back and reflecting. So I'm going to let Brock read December 31st on 1887, which was about 2 months before he died.
Family all up, but I am quite feeble. 1 year ago, I had but little hope that I would live to see the close of another year, but the good Lord has seen fit to preserve me, and I am still alive, but nothing more than a skeleton. Thousands have died during the present that were young, stout, and strong, while the old and afflictive have been spared. God's ways is not man's ways.
So I thought that was very...
That's touching. He was a very pious, religious, stalwart Christian man. And it reflected in most of his writings, wasn't it? In his actions.
Yes.
He was a very philanthropic man. He was fairly well off. But he did spend a lot of his treasure and his time helping others.
He is, Wade, but it's an interesting thing. He was born in 1824. He went to church his whole life. His daddy became a Baptist preacher in his 60s. But this man, my great-granddaddy, did not become a Christian or a preacher until he was 51 years old.
He said
he'd had a calling when he was a young man to be a preacher. He resisted the call his whole life, and he said that it was a dereliction of his duty, and that once he became a Christian and was called to be a minister, he spent the rest of his life trying to make up for his dereliction of duty his whole life.
That's amazing.
Was a very interesting man.
His father was, too.
Yeah, his father was just quite the character. But see, this is a man, we've got to understand this in 1888. He grew up listening to his granddaddy talk about fighting in the American Revolution.
Right.
He grew up listening to his daddy talk about fighting under Andrew Jackson in the War of 1812 and killing Indians in the Seminole Indian Wars. And he fought in the Civil War. He mustered in and out several times due to diarrhea. He had diarrhea for 7 months. But anyway, dysentery.
That's one of the greatest casualties of that era and that war. People dysentery. Don't like to talk about.
Well, I know. He had dysentery for 7 months, but he regained his health, and he went back in at the end of the war. And you know this, Wade, and some of our listeners know this, but he was the head of militia from Jefferson and Emanuel County areas and some other counties, which was the old men and the young boys who were totally untrained, unequipped, ill-skilled, and had very high casualties. And one of his regiments was the Mr. Coleman, that the Coleman House in Swainsboro.
Right,
he went on. He was only 16 when he was in the war, so he went on to become a wealthy banker. So I always think about that. But yes, I mean, very reflective of his life. And I just think to have a record of what life, the cold they experienced right there in that county, which had to be just bitter. The animals, you think about the animals, Wade.
Yeah.
You have a barn, you know.
What prompted the journal, Faye? It's Matt. Sorry for jumping in here.
I don't know. It's really interesting. My plans are to publish it. It is not a diary of his innermost thoughts. It is a journal, and he did it every day for 3 years leading up to his death. And what's interesting, he writes it to someone who doesn't know what he's talking about. Because he will explain what things are. So whoever his target audience was somebody that didn't live there and didn't know what was going on.
It was his progeny, probably, later that he wasn't unknown, progeny unknown.
Well, I guess so. And I think he knew he was dying. But I will say that having experienced the death of his mother at a young age, the death of a wife, he had 4 children that died. He went off to war and saw massive casualties. There is absolutely no hint of depression or PTSD or anything else, which I find remarkable. And I can only attribute that to his faith, because I'm going to have Brock read the very last entry before he died, and then I'll sign off. Here it is.
January 23rd, Monday. All up. Commenced raining during the night. And today it has been busy all the time, and the fire feels pleasant.
The last word he wrote was pleasant.
That is good.
Yeah. So I wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year, and stay warm.
Thank you, Faye. Thank you, Brock. Okay.
You're welcome. Yes. Anytime.
Wow.
Merry Christmas.
There you go. Great show, everybody. Enjoyed listening in tonight. Thanks, Wade.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. And join us next week and join us on podcast, listen anytime. And repeats of the show. When are the shows repeated, Matt? Wednesday morning or Friday morning?
Yeah, Wednesday morning when I remember.
When you remember. And Friday morning maybe too?
Yes, whatever.
That's the good thing about owning the radio station.
Listen, I haven't been awake in 3 days for more than about an hour. So I'm doing.
Thank you for being a trooper and being here tonight with us, Matt. Thank you. All right. Good night, everybody. We love y'all.
Good night.
Georgia Radio. Good company and great country.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time.
visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.